Welcome tonight again to our fourth session on this merits enrichment. I would like to read with you from Ephesians 5, and we'll read from verse 22 to the end. So Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's together pray. Great God and great Redeemer, the instructions we already heard from this passage of Scripture, O Lord, are thy divine and eternal will, but therewith wilt thou give us the grace and the power of thy Spirit, that indeed in the marriages that we may have, we may live according to this Scripture, in loving, in honoring, in respecting and obeying thy word. And Lord, as we gather here tonight with a few of us here and the many others who are listening now or later to this subject, we trust that thou wilt bless and use also these means for the furthering and for the deepening and enriching of the marriage life that thou hast given us. And Lord, may it please thee also to use this evening's subject when we consider the needs particularly that thou hast created the female race with, that we also as husbands may learn to satisfy and nurture and cherish those very wives that thou hast given us, Lord, as our spouse and as our lovers. So please guide us all. Who knows how much sin there is in our relationships and how many shortcomings there are in our living, also within the marriage state. And be pleased, O God, to lead us not only to repentance, but also to faith in that precious saving work, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Welcome. And a reminder again, if you feel like giving me a text, or those of you who are listening at home, my number is 920 and 791-1327. I think I said that right. 920-791-1327. Now, I have an outline here for you tonight, and those who are listening online, I'm sorry, I forgot to give it to our IT person to put it online. So, but it will be there hopefully by tonight. Now, thank you for coming, those of you here, and reason you come here. Just to please me? Hopefully not only that, but appreciate if that would be one of the reasons. But the real reason is that you would want to improve. What is good can be better, can be best. Now, best we won't reach in this life. And that is the state of perfection that none of us will acquire to here below. But to grow and to learn and to deepen. What's interesting, I had a conversation with an older person the other day who has been listening too. And you know, this person is beyond the marriage because he's already lost her spouse. But one of the comments he said is, you know, I just wish I had this instruction when we started out so many years ago. We just kind of, you know, lived the journey without really knowing the details that you are bringing out. So let's consider that too. I'm sure you all want to deepen your marriage joy, right? So that should be a seller for a topic like this then. Because who does not want to be part of that increased desire or joy and fulfillment? The reason for sometimes people balk at these sessions is because they come with homework. Well, you call that marriage construction. And that's where the rubber hits the road, huh? This is where the hard work is. Being here, that's easy. Sit here and just be a consumer by listening. But the hard work is when you go back together and discuss and sharpen your skills with each other. And I really encourage you again that you get a whole month for that nearly. So I'm not harsh on you. All right, but don't be like the slothful hunter who goes out to all the pain to hunt and then he doesn't roast what he hunted. So it spoils. Now, for review, you cannot attain the joy and the merits unless you know how God design is. And I think that's what I've been trying to do the last, and what I'll do again tonight, is looking together at the design of merits, especially in the difference between the males and the females. God has created you and me with a vast reservoir of emotional needs that needs to be filled. Yeah? When God created Adam, we saw that last time, in a perfect paradise without sin, he had no one to fill the emotional reservoir that he was created with. And that's why God said it's not good for that man to be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Yeah, so if you forgot or if you weren't there last time, maybe you can re-listen to the one that I did last time. I spent quite a bit of time on speaking on this emotional need. Now think of the word helpmeet. The Hebrew has the idea of complement. Yeah? Half an orange complements the other half. That's the word helpmeet. So if Adam, in the paradise condition, if I may use the term, was half an orange, and Eve was the other half of the orange, what is Eve on her own? She's also half an orange. Okay? So not only are you as a woman made to be the help meet to us men, but we men are equally made to be the help meet towards the woman. That thinking is in a lot of us men very foreign. We always talk about the lady, the woman, as the help meet. And then she becomes from a slave or she becomes a servant and she becomes everything to fulfill our needs. Now please do not forget that when God says that the one is help meet, the other one is just as much help meet. And if I go to chapter 2 verse 24, therefore let a man leave his father and his mother, you do not conclude from that the woman doesn't need to leave her father and mother. It's for both equally true. Yeah, so the helpmeet is also equally true. Let's take that in real clearly. Now, looked last time at the five primary or the most common needs of men. Now, again, those are the most common. We're talking here a group of thousands of men who have been asked, listed, so it's a common admiration, which motivates us, domestic havens, which nourishes men, recreational companionship which rejoices us men, sexual fulfillment which satisfies us men, and physical attractiveness which excites us men. Now, recall that each person is unique, please. So, if you didn't meet these five as a male, and you say, "Hey, I don't have this fifth one. I don't have this one." That is fine. If you there's always males and females that don't fit the you know, what you call that, the average. And so, if you don't have these five, what are you then? You're normal, but you're unique. There's nothing wrong. If you say, you know, physical attractiveness is not so important to me, I haven't yet a man who hasn't said that, but if that is your case, then there's nothing wrong with you. You're just unique. But think about the common ones here together. However, if your unique need goes unmet, now that was the point I was trying to make last week. If your unique need goes unmet, then we get potential for frustration. Or worse, we get potential for temptation. Because if somebody else comes along that begins to meet that need, that's how most affairs start. They don't start with somebody having a devious agenda, saying, "I'm going to go cheat on my spouse." They start, somebody else comes along and seeks, or not seeks, maybe even spontaneously or without purpose, begins to meet the need of that person. And that just sparks the rest. Yeah, so let's keep that in mind. It's for the safe being of your own marriages that we need to focus on the needs. Now, fourthly, as a refresher, the importance of relationship. Solomon writes this, and we might smile about this, of course, when we read this and thinking about all his many, many wives. "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house." You know, you can have a palace, but if you have a brawling woman, what's a brawling woman? I put the word in there for you, quarreling woman, and nagging and controversial, whatever words you want to think of. But someone who is just constantly on your neck, you know, talking and nagging and blah, blah, blah. And so Solomon says, that's no relationship, is there? It's better for me to dwell in a really small, tiny house with a contented relationship than with this beautiful palace. Because what makes a person the happiest? It's not the biggest house. It is what? Power. We'll leave that for now, because only you and I understand that statement. What makes us happy is really a good relationship. And why doesn't close, intimate, personal, supportive relationship make us as a man or a woman the happiest? Can some of you answer that? Okay, God made us relational beings. And having a good relationship, what does that do to our needs? It fulfills the needs. Now, you can have a need fulfilled by something that's not relational. You can have all the gold and all the silver and all the cars and all the houses and all what you want. It never fills the emotional need of companionship, of fulfillment, of admiration. Yeah, we need another person to do that. And the same, of course, as you're now going to look tonight at the female side. And that's also by a breaking of a relationship. Yeah, I have to be careful how I say that. But a breaking of a relationship that began in a beautiful trust through an affair or a cheating is worse than death. Yeah? Death is definitely a terrible, painful severing of something that's special. But see, I lost my wife, but I have all the good memories left that I can still treasure. And if, on the other hand, there would be a wife or a spouse that is cheated out of a relationship, even though you have some nice memories, you cannot think back of those. That's painful. That's why that's harder. And let's at least pray for the people that we know who've gone to divorce or are in such straits like that. Now, tonight, Who's qualified as a man to speak to women? This is treacherous. Right? Yeah, I have to do this also fairly. So having spoken last time about the primary needs of the males and having given you women some power over us, if you are knowing how to deal with these five primary needs of us males, you have us in your hands. Totally. Now we have to go turn around. And what are the secrets of these women? Let's think about that together. I read tonight from Ephesians 5. And in that you see God commanded men to love their own wife as Christ our own body, and to love her as we love ourselves. The first primary need for a woman, according to all the research, and hopefully you can confirm it tonight somewhat, is the need for affection. And I'll specify that in a moment. But why did God command in Ephesians 5 that the man, husband, is to love his wife? And we're going to have to define the word love, of course. Why does God define love as the primary thing that we husbands have to give to our wives? Now, if you look at the next text I've got on your outline from Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So why did God write, through Peter, this command, again, to husbands? Dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? What tidbit am I missing here? Now, if you put Ephesians 5 into this passage, the knowledge is that they need affection. More than anything else, they need affection because they are the weaker vessel. And what is weaker here? Nothing to do with muscles. Carrying a baby is quite a feat. So, we men have no stamina like that. So talk about muscles. Talk about endurance. Talk about all that. So, weaker vessels got nothing to do with that. There are women I would never dare to fight with. They'd probably floor me in a moment. Yeah? So, weaker is to do with how God has made you females, with an incredible need for affection. More than what we men need. Of course, we need it too. So, when God says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, means simply this, man, that we are respecting the uniqueness of how God made our spouse, our wife. And that we live according to the knowledge of our Creator, how to deal with this uniqueness of our spouse. Which happens to be that she needs massive amount of affection. Yeah, have I stated in number C that affection is a woman's lifeblood? So let's first quickly define what affection is. For us men, very important, because when you think about the word affection, guys, what do you think of? You think about physical. You think about hugs and kisses, and you think about sexual relationships. You think about affection in that setting, correct? Maybe not totally. But in some way, we do equate affection with something physical. Now, let me talk that out of your head tonight. If I can accomplish something tonight, if that's the only thing I get accomplished, I think I have a victory. Women do not define affection with being equal to or close to sexual relationships. Yeah? Well, let me expound on this a little bit. Affection for a woman is the communication of your care and of your commitment to her as the princess in your life. As the queen, I would say. Let's use the queen here. In your life. Affection is to somehow communicate to her, you know what, I care for you more than for any other creature in this world. More, you are to me the most important person that I know. Women are looking for the communication of my commitment, that nothing stands in the way that would hinder me from serving you and loving you, no matter how special it is. I will love you so much that I'm ready to sacrifice it. That's affection. My hobby? Out the door. If it is interfering between my love between you and me. My special project? It has to wait if I see that there is an issue between you and me. That's how Christ loved this church. He doesn't have a physical relationship, did he? That's not even in the picture in the marriage between Christ and his people. But he communicated his care and his commitment that even when the Father set the cross before him, that he denied himself and he died on the cross to show his church, as well as his Father, of course, but to show his people, this is how much I love you. That nothing is too dear to me to sacrifice, to show my care to you. That's affection. Yeah, that has nothing to do with marriage bed. Please keep that in mind. And that's also not how women think. So when your wife cuddles up to you and wants to give you a hug, she's not asking you, okay, take me to the bedroom. She's simply saying, hold me like my daddy used to hold me as a little girl. I need you. I don't want to feel your love. I want to feel your care. I want to feel your protection. I want to feel you carry me. Now, but stay right there. Now, of course, that's not how we work, right? The moment our wife gives a hug to us, our whole biology goes flying off the roof. Yeah? That's how we react as men. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But that is not the message she is asking for. That happens, they know. But she's not asking for anything like that. She's asking for simple affection. Like she asked her mother and her father, just listen to me. Just love me. So the way to express this affection, that goes from a physical touch to a digital text and anything in between there. Yeah? And I'll give you a list in a moment. They are not copyrighted, so you can start writing down, guys, of what you all can do to show affection to your wife. That has nothing to do. Now, why is this affection so important? Now, why is this so important? Now, look at the second bullet point. Affection sends the message that she needs to hear from you. And what is that? That she is secure. That she is protected. That she is approved. That she is validated. That you are committed. When I show affection to my wife in whatever way that she needs, and we're going to talk about it in a moment, because you as wife may not need it in the same way as my wife might need it. Because we're all unique. But if I show affection to my wife, I send her a message. You are special to me. I am committed to you. I'll never, never forsake you. That's security, right? That trust. That's what a weaker vessel needs in the marriage life. I want to be protecting to you and listen to you. So therefore, we men, listen to this. The only time that some men show affection is when? Yeah, I see some of you ladies smile. Now, that doesn't mean that your men are only doing that. But I had a man telling me the other day, no, sorry, not a man. It was a woman who walked away from her husband, and I'm trying to fix this together. It didn't work. It's too long beyond repair. She said to me, the only time I heard I love you is when you want to have sex. She says, I came to hate those words, I love you. Yeah, because the only thing is, I'm only showing affection to you when I want something from you. Now, that's how you can turn your wife into a pillar of ice. Yeah? Rather than in a fire you desire. So please, men, let's remember that. When affection means, I want something from you, you turn her off. But when affection means, I want to give you something, that turns her on. And that's what affection we need to give. So therefore, listen to what God says. Therefore, man, live according to knowledge with your wife, the weaker vessel. Love your wife. Now notice number D, affection is the essential cement of a woman's relationship with her husband. Affections bind her emotionally to you. And sometimes when we deal with struggling marriages, we get to hear the statement, you know what, she used to be very, very responsive to me also in my intimate life, but that's all gone, that's all over. I'm confused. Before we were dating, man, we struggled to contain ourselves. And now since we're married, it's like, aren't you interested in this? Now, if that happens, there's something majorly wrong, of course, in that marriage. And what is wrong then? What did we give her before marriage that made us struggle to contain ourselves? We gave her affection, attention. We gave her a listening ear. For hours we listened. We asked. We wanted to know what it was like. What was your youth like? And what is this like? And what do you think of that? And what do you think of that? And we ask all these hundreds of questions and we pretend to listen patiently, didn't we, Paul? Because we know that's the way to gain the woman's heart. And that's what we were after, weren't we? And now all of a sudden we sail into the marriage and like big pirates, we got her. And now we drop the very skill we used in the beginning to win her heart, to make us follow us into the marriage bond. And then we drop affection. Friends, let's remember, affection is the essential cement of the woman's relationship with her husband. It's also the secret of a passionate and an intimate relationship with your wife. The women's emotions aren't wired the same as men. You know, as men, a little affection fires up our biological machinery. That's not the case with women. It doesn't do that unless all the tanks of the emotional needs are filled. I love the statement of Harley, who says, affection is the environment of the marriage, while sex is not the event, of the marriage. Now, affection is the way of life. And if affection is the way of life between you and your spouse, then you are creating the context of this romantic love burning on the rest of your journey. Yeah, not just only in those beginning honeymoon weeks and months. No, not that. So men, on the next page, learn to create a loving, caring atmosphere with words and gestures, with gifts and attention and time. I have already related to you that the courting days when we were beginning our relationship, there was a lot of passion, a lot of fire. But now often what happens with us men, we put away the preliminaries and we think we can just skip right over all that and to the end result. And that's sad because that's not how your wife works. She is not interested in that unless all those preliminaries are still happening throughout the journey of your marriage life. So, that's where the common statement comes from that I have heard many places. For a woman, and don't take this wrong, sex begins in the kitchen. What in the world does that mean? Don't have different ideas about my wife and me in the kitchen. But what she means with this is, when you show your care, you help me out do the dishes, you take over when things are at a crisis, you are mopping the floor, you're doing all the things that need to be done, that show me your care and commitment, that's how you turn on my romantic fire. Yeah? Isn't that the simple logic? That's how God made him. So, got to find those right buttons, right? Now, this is what God is telling us. That's the right buttons to use. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, I hear you say, but I am not an affectionate type, Pastor. That's just not the way I am, okay? Now, man, if that's what you are saying here this afternoon or evening, and then I have to just remind you of what we read from Ephesians 5. Let's read it again. What does God command? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. So I heard you say, I'm not an affectionate type. I'm not that kind of a, you know, fuzzy-duzzy kind of a fellow. I'm just right to the point and, hey. So then I think you must say that you are excused from God's command. And secondly, do you not nourish and cherish your own body either? Are you like that? Oh, I don't care about my own body. When I'm cold, I'm just cold. When I'm hungry, well, I'm just hungry. I don't do anything about that. I'm just hungry. When I'm hot, I'm just hot. Or do you cherish and nourish your own body at that stage? We're going to eat, we're going to clothe, we're going to go find a cool place. We give ourselves a luxury. That's nourishing and cherishing your own body. Even though I might not be such an affectionate person, you show that affection to yourself. So therefore, friends, if you're not an affectionate person, then you got something to learn. You need to learn to be affectionate. So what's going to happen tonight when you go home? You're going to say to your wife, if you're not an affectionate man, says, no, wife, I am your student. God told me, men dwell according to knowledge. I don't really know how to do it. I didn't see it in my dad. He wasn't that affectionate. They just kind of lived together, but they didn't really show any affection, as long as I can see it. So, wife, teach me. So, wife, this is your opportunity. Hopefully you'll have that question tonight or later this week. Ask your wife how she wants to be nourished and cherished. So, if she comes with a list of 20 ways of how to do that, well, then you got some work ahead. And believe me, that's one of the assignments, by the way, in your construction manual tonight. Question 3, ask your wife to show her list of how she wants you to show affection. Discuss the list together, mark each item with either no problem or sweat or no way. You know, maybe your wife says, I want you to show affection by having the cat in the bed. Well, you might say, no way, that is an absolute no-no, right? But there may be other ways that she might want to ask you the affection that is doable. So, some starters, I said to you, these are not copyrighted, these ideas. Begin with giving lots of hugs. Only hugs, no more. Women love hugs. They hug pillows, they hug animals, they hug stuffed bears. They hug each other. I mean, I saw it yesterday. My wife and I went to visit somebody, and guess what the two ladies do? They hug each other. I mean, we men don't hug each other, do we? Like that? Maybe in America they do a little bit, but women love hugs. So hug them as often as you can. And as you hug them, just give them a little back rub, head scratch, and whisper something romantic in their ear. You made their day. But it cost you. Only got 1 point, but what did it cost you? Doesn't cost a whole lot. You don't always have to bring flowers, but that's another nice thing to do sometimes. Just to bring a little bouquet of flowers, if she likes flowers, of course. But sometimes a love letter. I never write love letters until I go away, right? Michelle always loves that. She gets these nice letters from me occasionally on my email. So, you know, I'm so far away from you, I can't talk to you. So how about I write to you something? And they become very poetic. Now, if you're not poetic, doesn't matter. Just tell her what you think of that woman again. Yeah, go to dinner and give her a little slip of paper ahead of time with this statement on it. Tell me tonight at the dinner table out there in the restaurant 5 ways in how I can be a better husband to you. Yeah, now you're showing her. I loved it when I came to New Zealand. I started doing something again that I had forgotten to do, and she says she really liked it. I had forgotten. I used to do it when I was dating, but then after a while I quit doing it. But then I moved to New Zealand. I started doing it again, but not because I chose to. What was I doing? Well, I would open the car door for her. He said, I walked to the car and I opened the door and I discovered there's no steering wheel there. So I would say, oh, darling, this is for you. And she says, you know, I really like it that you do that again. So you see the steering wheels on the left side of the car. So that is, but something what I discovered is that she still likes it. You know what women still like? They still like it when you hold their hand in public or lay your arm around their shoulder. Somehow that makes them feel owned. That makes them feel special. Even when you walk in church or you walk in the mall or you're somewhere, go hold their hands. Obviously, phone calls and text messages throughout the day that you are thinking of her and that you're okay if you're on a trip. That's one I can't forget anymore. Right? I always have to send Michelle a message anytime I land or take off so that she knows where I am. Just she wants to be knowing. Now, joining her in shopping. Don't roll your eyes like I did. But they do like that. Even if you do not like shopping. Yeah, and even especially go along when they go for clothes shopping. Some of them really like it. Now, some of them might say, don't want you there. That's okay. See, that's how you have to learn to know the ideas of how you show affection. Now, those are just some starters. I'm sure that your wife will come up with the other 19 that I haven't mentioned yet. The second great need that women have, is of course, no surprise, they like to talk. Yeah? They like conversation. Females thrive on talking for various reasons. There might be more reasons. These are the only two I could think of. First of all, because they simply love to talk. That's why they can spend hours on the phone with their friend just talking. Now, we guys, we spend some time on the phone too, but it's usually a little shorter than that. Right? It's a little business-like. Yeah, goodbye, bye, done. At least that's how it goes with me. But if I hear females saying goodbye to each other, that's a long process. Even saying goodbye is a long process for some. For some, not for all. Yeah? So, please, talking. You love talking. Now, why do women love talking? Do women know that? Out here? Why do you love talking? Pardon? Emotional support. It's also... Feel connected. Any other reasons? Why do people feel like talking? Pardon? Pass the time. You know, maybe this is another reason, and maybe you can think about it, women, if I'm correct. But you also resolve a lot of your problems by talking. They resolve their own problems. Thank you, James. That's the thing that took me 10 years to learn, that when they talk about their problems, they really do not want me to interrupt them and say, now you do 5 things and all your problems are over. That's not what the women want. They just want you to listen, and as they are talking, guess what? They solve their own problems. So all they want us is to listen, and not fall asleep. But listen, really listen, not reading the paper. Not saying, something like that. You could, of course, but please listen. Now the second, I already said, they resolve their burdens, their struggles by talking. They unload, and by that they are experiencing relief and security and contentment. So what are we men then to do? Well, let's recall how most of us men fulfilled this need during our courting time. Your attention to details in those early days of your relationship built the emotional bonds which kindled the strong romantic feelings. Yeah, it is. We wanted to get to know her personal history. We wanted to learn what was attractive to her. And after marriage, we think, well, what else is there to know? I know everything about her now. No, that's not true. Any stage of life brings new things for us to learn, to deal with, children, more children, relationships, aging, finances. I mean, there's so many things that are on our mind. So, men, give her an hour of your undivided attention, and it's not one point. in this case. This is a big love deposit when you give her that undivided attention and listen to her as she shares her burdens with you, without interruption, without justifying or correcting yourself. When we men give our spouse's attention and speak intimately with her, I want to notice that intimate talking time, having a few secrets to be successful. Intimate talking time. Now, when you think about intimate men, what do you think of? Oh, I always used to think physical. But that's not what intimate is. Intimate talking time is sharing your deepest emotions. As I said before, intimacy, that's intimacy. Letting them feel what are your inner emotions. So let your wife share with you her fears, her pains, her bonds, her needs. And when you do that, even when you say nothing back, except you affirm and you validate, you say, I hear that, that's hard for you. I understand, this is scary. I understand, this is overload. I can see that, wow, this is really amazing. How did you handle that even? You are emotionally bonding with this woman. You're showing care. You're showing affection when you let her listen, when you let her talk. I said already, this is often how an affair starts. Imagine this woman at her desk or at work, and she's having a bad relationship with her husband at home. It's, he's not paying any attention to her anymore. She's just letting her go and so on. And here comes, George walking down and says, "Hello, Ellen, how are you doing this morning? I took a cup of coffee along for you." Just, courtesy, he's having a coffee machine, so he took one for his coworker. Now, he gives that coffee to her. And how does he interpret that giving of that coffee? Well, this guy cares for me. Instantly. Now, if she's having a bad relationship at home, and there comes a young man around him who shows care, and says, can you handle the boss? Lately, he's been so grouchy and so demanding. And Ellen would say, I got no problem with my boss, but I got problems with my husband. Now she's doing something wrong. She's releasing emotional, intimate things to a stranger. What's a stranger do? He has a caring nature, maybe. He says, that's too bad. What's going on? Gives attention. Can you see the potential? Instantly, we got here the chemistry for an affair beginning. Because now she's unloading her emotions to another man who's caring. And that's all what a woman needs. To go off the rail in the wrong direction. So men, if you don't want that to happen, if you don't want your wife to find some other way or another person perhaps, then do remember, you need to let her speak to you. Now, to have these intimate talks with each other, they need to be obviously successful if there are a few things happening. I wrote them on your outline. They need to be enjoyable to both. And it's not enjoyable when we demand instead of request. If I demand things, that tells them, I don't care about you or how you feel, I want it. We should never demand each other. We could request, darling, it's been pretty tough lately. I'm not really handling it. And I would love it if you come home a little earlier in the day from your work so that, this chaos around 5 o'clock, I just can handle it. Now, if you say to your husband, I want you to be home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon from now on because I can't handle it, what's happening? That's not an enjoyable conversation to the other side, not to you either. So that's not going anywhere. So come with the request. Tone of voice. Secondly, don't show disrespect in your words, in your action. How can we show disrespect? Oh, no. Rolling the eye and sighing. It's a huge disrespect. If my wife says to me, and then she walks into my study, and she does it occasionally, says, I need to talk to you. And I would say, oh, man, I'm just busy. No, is that disrespect or respect? It's disrespect. Yeah, even though I'm interrupted or even though I'm busy, that's obviously something, if there's a special need, I need to show that respectfully. So statements or eyes or sighs are a way to end constructive relationship and conversation. So don't say something disrespectful or cutting. Number three, when we let anger roll into our conversation. Anger. Anger always is bad. Especially the bad anger I'm talking about now. I mean, there's good anger, but I'm not speaking about that. When anger rolls into the conversation, it always hurts. So when you get angry, your feelings are stirred up, you get, what do? 1, 2, 3, 4, count to 10, maybe. Walk away for a moment, say, hey, give me 5 minutes. I'm losing it. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. A man who conquers his own spirit is stronger than a man who takes a city. So if you say, hey, I'm losing it, give me 5 minutes to back off for a moment and collect my thought and cool down. Let's not have anger in the relationship. Anger is temporary insanity, isn't it? You don't want to be taped when you're angry. I did it to one of my kids. He was having a little session going on, so I took my phone out and I just put on auto recording. I even made a video of it. That's right, he didn't even realize. So I sat later on and says, you know, David, come here for a moment. I got a video to watch with you. He was quite keen to watch the video with me till I put it on. And he saw himself. And he was stunned. Wow, that's what you look like when you talk like this? That's what you look like. And that's what you sound like here. Let me put a sound on now. Yeah, let's remember that. We're not pretty people when we're angry. We destroy. So that can never be in a conversation. Do not resurrect the past issues. Don't dwell on the faults, please. Yeah, confronting with failures is different than dwelling and rehearsing, and some of them even encase them. Let's get beyond it. Let's put the things of the past behind us. If it has been dealt with, don't anymore deal with it. Lastly, when we interrupt, when we correct, and we don't listen, or when we don't divide the time equally, those are all ways to destroy the relationship conversation. What I mean, divide the time equally when one of you dominates the whole conversation. Yeah, if you're a good talker, that's easy, right? If I and my wife have a little spat, I probably can talk her right under the table because I'm a good talker. But that's not fair. That's not right. That's not a helpful way of dealing with a conflict. Yeah? So, how much do we talk every week? Now, hold on to your seat, okay? When I give you the answer. How many hours should we talk every week? James is holding out the duck. Dr. Holly, 15 hours a week. Now, I looked at that and I thought, 15 hours a week. I think I do it. Because it actually doesn't go that. That is not as much as you think it is. Yeah? But if you think about 15 hours a week, you don't look cross-eyed with me. If we don't divide this time to each other, let's make it 10. If you don't divide 10 hours per week to each other, you are losing in your relationship rather than gaining. Now, mind you, 10 hours or 15 hours, that's a quality interaction, okay? And let me just ponder this moment with you. How many hours are in the week? I see Ross is looking like. How many hours in the week, Ross? 168 hours in every week. Now let me walk you down this time budget for a moment and see. If you sleep 8 hours per day, that's 56 hours in the week. There's 112 hours left. If you take 12 hours to get ready and to go to work, 6 days a week, 12 hours just to get ready and to go to work and come back. Now you got 100 hours left. Say if you have a 50-hour work week, which is long enough. Shoot. She's going to quote that on me. Okay, 50 hours left if you have a 50-hour work week. Wow. 50 hours left. So if you give your wife 10 hours, you got 30 hours left. If you give your kids 10 hours, you got 20 hours left. Sorry, if you have 50 hours left, if you give your wife 10 hours, you have 40 hours left. If you give your kids 10 hours, you still got 30 hours left per week for doing your hobby and your chores and your spiritual devotions and going to church. And have you ever budgeted your time? This is actually interesting if you do that. I'm accustomed to make a schedule of my day, which I hardly ever keep. Maybe one day or 2 days and then I'm off again. But it's interesting. If you schedule your hours, how many hours you have, and somehow we waste a lot of them. So then maybe 10 hours a week of talking and sharing and going for a walk and having a little cuddle, affection. I mean, as you talk, that's 10 hours is not a whole lot, guys. That's investment. And by the way, I bet if you do 10 hours, you're eager to make it 15 hours. Because you're going to get the results of this investment. It's going to really increase the joy in your marriage life. Now, then the last three, a little bit less time on those last three important aspects of the women's needs. Honesty and openness to have complete trust. Yeah, the golden thread woven through a woman's basic needs is her sense of security and trust. And without a total openness and honesty, this cannot develop. You know, I've been dealing with a marriage that at this moment is totally on the rocks. And this chappy, that husband, managed to live with his wife without giving her a single password of all of his phones and of his internet and everything else. And he was telling me, that's no problem. My wife can trust me even though I don't trust her on my phone. I said, you know what? You can't build up a trust relationship if you're hiding something. Yeah? So please, guys, understand that for a woman, the trust factor is the most important factor if you want to have a very secure relationship. A husband who hides his past and who hides the present and who hides his cell phone, refuses the passwords and internet history, is dousing his marriage with lava, that hot stuff you see in Hawaii at the moment. Openness is honesty and is security. The other day, I jumped on my internet and I didn't see a picture I should have seen. And it bothered me so badly, I went to Michelle to tell her about it right away. I couldn't get out of my mind. I didn't like the picture, so I went to tell her. That didn't destroy my marriage. That strengthened my marriage. Because I told her. Trust is the thing that you want to never compromise on. And your wife and you as a husband and wife need to have a total openness about everything. Now notice there are four areas of total openness. The first one is where we men often fail, is emotional honesty. Men, it is not wrong to be emotional honest. As I said on the phone today with a brother out in the Netherlands who just lost his wife, and it was wonderful to hear him cry and weep and sob for a few minutes. Yeah. That's not the many men who do that. Yeah, he showed me his emotions. And that is exactly so healthy. But it's also so healthy if you can show it to your wife. Be weak and vulnerable and let your wife know. Be emotionally open. And wives need to have that to their husband too. We need to be able to review our thoughts and our feelings and our likes and our dislikes to the events as well as to our spouse's behavior. So please be open with each other. Without that accurate data, you cannot make the necessary adjustments either to speak the love language that your wife or your husband wants to hear. If you do hide it, if you don't like that, if you're afraid to say, you know what, I actually don't like about bacon and eggs for breakfast on my bed. I hate the smell of it. Well, you're not going to offend him if you say something like that in a kind and instructive way. Next time you want to make me breakfast on bed, why don't you just consider giving me this? Now, that's open emotional. B, secondly, historical honesty. No skeletons in the closet. Now, I am not speaking here to young couples anymore tonight, but do have young couples all the time. If you don't take out the skeletons of the past and share them with each other, you'll always have a barrier in your marriage. It's like moving into your new house. There's one room, it's locked. You got the key in your pocket and you say to your wife, I'm sorry, wife. You might not even say to your wife or to your husband, you can't go in the door, but the door's locked. Somebody tries to open the door, it's locked. And you know, that's how it goes in relationships. You can feel if there's something hidden. That's a feeling thing. So please be open with each other. Revealing the not so nice parts before your spouse discovers it builds trust and deepens love. Yeah, it doesn't destroy marriage. I wrote this, read this statement down here. Truth may be painful and truth may be frightening, but truth doesn't destroy the marriage. Lies do. And deceit do. And hiding. So strive for historical honesty. Thirdly, current honesty. Reveal your daily schedules. Let each other know what you're doing, when and where, so that you're in tune with each other throughout the day. And thirdly, future honesty. Discuss your future plans together. Don't make plans without each other. Husbands, we tend to do that too quick. We'll go buy things without checking with our spouse about it. Yeah? Not wise. Not wise. Unless you got $1 billion. And that doesn't matter. But if you got financial situations, which is coming on number 5, then it is not a smart idea. Yeah, it's also not fair because do you allow your spouse to do the same thing? Now, the man in Proverbs 31 apparently did because his wife went out to buy a field. I haven't yet given my wife permission to do that. Right? Can you imagine me coming home and having a new Cadillac in the driveway? Yeah, I'm going to buy a Cadillac today. Wow. I would not be so happy, to be honest. But that confidence obviously needs to be built up, and maybe that needs to be built up, but please make your plans together. Now, number 4 is family commitment. Wives, mothers crave the positive, proactive involvement and leadership of husbands in the education of the children. God knows that. I noticed the other day when I did a topic in one of the congregations, that God says never anywhere in the Bible directly the way He speaks to husbands. Fathers, love your children. Don't provoke them to anger. In vain do you look for a text that directly says, mothers, da-da-da-da. Because naturally mothers will do that. They may neglect their household, of course they may. But mothers, instinctively almost, naturally, have a different bond with their children than fathers do. But you know what the Muslim, what the wife really loves and turns her heart to you, man, is when you show this family commitment. That's your priority. You involved in the education of your children. You are to be involved in taking responsibility of how the children turn out, teaching them values, teaching them quality time, helping them succeed. Obviously, doing that in an enthusiastic agreement in the methods and the objectives by husband and wife. I mean, you can't do a freelancing on this. But the more time that you give to the family as a husband, as a father, the more you feed the emotional need of the mother. If you are a family man, keep that in mind. So this time needs to be budgeted again. 15 hours for your wife. 15 hours for your children. 15 hours. I'm a little guilty on that one. Myself too. Although, spending a meal time, and I spend breakfast and supper with my kids. That's already about an hour and a half, 45 minutes at least, of my week that I spend every day with my children. So that's 6 times a week. That's already about 10 hours, you see? So it's not that much, 15 hours. But you got to spend quality time with those kids, working with them, yeah, engaging them. And boy, your wife just loves it. Now, lastly, is financial support. Again, that's a security issue. You notice a lot of these issues in the female are dealing with that inner need of their weakness, of their emotional desire for security. So financial support creates security. Someone is taking care of me. And though some women thrive on being at work, it is indicated in research that most females prefer to be the homemaker, or at least a combination of both. Even though the world parades these career women, and if they are the happiest woman, that's a little pretend world. The research really shows that deep down a woman is wired as God designed her to be housemaker, house guider. The two passages in Titus and Timothy really indicate this also according to God's will, of course. Now, it's possible that some women prefer to work outside the home. And why is that? Well, because there are obviously home environments that are so thankless and so demanding and so unappreciative that they are loving it at their work, because at least they get recognition, they get thanks, they get appreciation. So that is the case often. It's interesting, I read an article the other day in the Wall Street Journal about these female CEOs. I think some of these really big companies have a female CEO, and not saying anything necessarily against it, but the article was interesting because many of these female CEOs are not quite so successful. Why not? Because they simply miss the male characteristics. And they have to enroll them into some kind of a class to beef up their male characteristics to lead such a company on the top management position. That tells us something. It's not where you were made to be, women. You were not made to be that leader. That was a role that God designed men to have also in that setting. So that's just an interesting article. There's nothing religious about it, nothing spiritual, nothing biblical. It was an observation of the author about that. So, therefore, youths, love deposits are made when the husband is working to supply and provide the financial support for the family. But now, never say to your wife, husbands, you know what, I do all the work here to bring the money in. Correction. I think my wife works longer hours and more hours than I do, even though she never talks about that. She always talks about me having too many hours in my work week. What about hers? Especially when you have a row of kids. This is a 24-hour day. 7 days a week. If our wives have to be paid for all the hours they work, we better have three jobs, I always think. We men, at least, to bring all that money in. So let's be careful in how we think about our spouses. So therefore, friends, work on making and sticking to a budget together. This is an important point because I don't know how it is in your family, but according to Dr. Dobson's research, financial stress is one of the major two breaking points of marriages. In your assignment today, I gave you something to think about if you have never thought about a budget. Now, lastly, some final thoughts here, comparing the general priority of the needs between a man and a woman, as we've done in the last two sessions, reveals something very intriguing about God's design. Men's primary needs fall into the leisure pleasure category. It pleases us, it's in our leisure time. But the women's primary needs fall into the security and beauty, I kind of made it a rhyming word, security beauty category. Yeah? So you know that these needs are radically different. If we sum up the five of each into one summary statement. And if you recognize this now, and you make a conscious effort to make those love deposits in those three categories, your marriage will be off into an increased joy. Both romantically and in every other aspect. And yeah, my friends, that is really what I want, because, and I was reflecting about that with the conversation the other day again with older people, you know, yeah, they lived together. Yeah, they didn't divorce. Yeah, they lived till the one or both died, but many of them were so mediocre. And not only mediocre between them, but mediocre between them and their children and where the children go. So this is my investment. I want to make it your marriage. I'm making it in the next generation. we take these things to heart and really build on this base, what a blessing that would be for the kingdom of God. Are there any questions you have? Right. It's a balance, right? That's right. And it's a lot easier to have your job than to watch little kids. I mean, when I would take over from myself for a day, I thought to myself, shoot, I don't know how you do this all week. I really don't know how to do it. I mean, even though I was a teacher, it's different. That's different in a classroom of kids than having a kids at home. It's a whole different experience. So let's admire our women who are devoting themselves to the family. And that is a never-ending job. And yeah, when we come home from our work, we're tired. But we're not quite as tired as our spouse is. And then we come in as a guy, you know, we demand a meal, and we demand time, and we demand downtime. Not fair, guys. Not fair. Especially now that your wife never had any downtime and struggling to get the meal on the table. And then we want more yet at the end of the night. It's all give, give, give. So therefore, please, let's invest. Let's reevaluate. Let's look at our marriage relationship. It's vital. And the more sacrifices you make as a husband, the dearer and more beautiful your marriage will become. So thanks, James, for that. Shall we close with prayer? Lord, again, what have we covered? Many aspects of a design that Thou hast created also in the female. Thou hast created masculinity and femininity. And what a beautiful balance, Lord, also in how Thou hast given us the task as husbands to fulfill in our wives' life and our wives in us as husbands. Lord, I know through sin there is so much dysfunction, so much distortion, so much destruction, and so much dysfunctionality. Please bless Thou also these talks to bring a fresh renewing and a deepening. And perhaps a repentance, where we all need that. And we ask you, Lord, to so guide us further in this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all, and a good night.